For 1,000 years, the women did not trust the faggots. We would allow the faggots to arrange our hair into elaborate, beautiful designs. We would allow them to fill our houses with carved wood and soft fabrics. We would allow them to play music at our parties. But we did not trust the faggots, for we knew the faggots only as men, and we could not trust men. The men have never liked the faggots, so for a long time the faggots hid from us.
I'm hiding.
Unacknowledged, the faggots served you. They create your masterpieces, educate your children, cook your food, arrange your gardens, plan your houses, work in your factories and rub your backs. The faggots' energy is drained and used by the man. The faggots' activity helps to keep the men's empires alive.
I don't rip no backs, I do hair.
When the faggots get up at the proper time in the morning, they put on the men's clothes, spray themselves with the men's odors, eat the men's instant breakfast, and go to work for the men. Using all the tricks their fathers taught them, they manage to appear to be part of the men. They speak in low, well-modulated tones. They have definite opinions on all subjects that might be mentioned. They look distracted when being asked a favor. They decide when it is time to decide, and they act decisively whenever it is time to act. On public occasions, they speak sentimentally about the challenges ahead and the past glories of Bramrod. In private, they speak of the loneliness of power and the satisfaction that comes from arranging the lives of others. At the proper time, they leave the men's work and return to their solitary rooms. They take off the men's clothes and prepare themselves for the small possibility of pleasure that the night might bring. Now, if the men's work has not exhausted them completely, they have some moments to do what they cannot help doing. They put on their costumes and their sunglasses and move cautiously onto the streets. Pleasure is chancy here, maybe, probably not, without encountering a significant stare on the street. They move into a dark, wood-covered room. Chances are better here. Everyone stands still for a while and drinks and looks at each other, while pretending not to. A significant stare here and there, a few friendly, though innocent, words spoken, and they move onto the hidden places, where all cocks are equal and all cock juice equally precious. Here, chance disappears. Here, release is guaranteed. It was necessary to develop secret ways to know each other. Vibrations passed through the eyes and the tips of the fingers were the ways the faggots knew each other. Once they learned to find each other anywhere they went, they learned that they were everywhere. Then they began to talk to each other and to love each other in earnest. And then, slowly, the faggots taught each other a trick. We learned how to be active in front of the men without identifying with the men. We learned how to do for the men without being used by the men. We could smile inside as they performed. We could laugh no matter what the outcome of our actions for the men were. We began to detach our souls from the men while leaving our bodies visibly available for activity. We learned that we could create the men's masterpieces, educate their children, cook their food, arrange their gardens, plan their houses, work in their factories and rub their backs without caring how it all turned out. We learned how the oppressed survive. We gotta keep each other alive any way we can, 'cause nobody else is going to do it. Wherever the faggots settle, they wish it to be near the women. It is from the women that we learn wisdom and magic. Under the highway, on the edge of the faggot community, work the honest women. They sell their skills to the men who will pay the most. So much to wash the dishes, a little more to paint a room, more than that to fix a car, and much, much more to fuck. What? You want to fuck? How much? The women make a decent wage.